Thank you for replying. We hope there was reply from our online congregation as well. We welcome all of you who gather in the sanctuary today and all of you who join us from other places. It is good that we're here together, that we're joined wherever we are into this hour of worship together. Don't know if all of us have a full grasp of this fact, but 7 days from now is Christmas. We have two services of worship that we offer on Christmas Eve. One is our traditional, marvelous festival of lessons and carols, a service in which the great texts that prophesy the coming of the Messiah and the birth of Jesus are read, and between these are carols sung by our congregation and anthems sung by our fantastic choir. This is worth attending. At 4 o'clock, we have another service, 4 in the afternoon, a less formal service that is designed for families with children. It is a great time that we have, inspiring as well. We sing carols and hear the story and enjoy a more intergenerational gathering. Choose one or choose both. We look forward to seeing you on Christmas Eve. Stan Morgan has an announcement to make. Yes.
Good morning, friends. I want to draw your attention to a card that you have in your bulletin. On the front, it says, "What's your gift of hospitality?" Later in the service, when the children come forward for time as children, we're going to talk more about this. But I want to draw your attention to it now. We are hosting the Daytime Warming Center here in January, which is not many days past Christmas. So we are hoping that you will take a look at this gift and indicate what gift you might like to offer in terms of hospitality on the back. There's a QR code at the bottom. It hasn't been too long since I've known how to do this, so I'm going to just go ahead and say how to do it because I learned recently. You just go in your phone to the camera app. You go as if to take a picture of that QR code. And once your phone settles on that QR code, a website will show up on your phone. You click that, and that's a place to sign up for how you would like to give your offering. You can also see Linda Turner. Linda Turner's here. She will be out in the hallway by our ministry station. It'll be obvious, and she'll help you also sign up that way if you'd like. There's also a QR code always in our bulletin to get to all the signups like this on our website. So thank you for offering a gift. Our goal, the Here Anchor team, who works to serve those who are hungry or homeless in our community, set a goal together a couple weeks ago that every household in our church family would help offer hospitality when our guests come next month. So we invite you to join us and help us meet that goal, and then you'll find out more about it during time as children when the children are up front. Thanks.
Christmas falls on Sunday this year. What shall we do? Well, worship will occur in this room at 10 as usual. It will not, however, be our usual format for worship. It will be less formal. And in fact, we invite you to come as you are. For children and teens, that means, if you like, we hope you'll come in your pajamas. Adults could do that too, but personally, I kind of prefer you not. There won't be a sermon, though there will be music, of course, and then we're going to do something creative and enjoyable and worshipful and inspiring. I won't give away at this moment what it is. We think you'll be grateful that you were able to come if indeed you choose to come. We look forward to next Sunday morning, Christmas Day worship at 10 o'clock here. And now will you join me, please, in the responsive call to worship for today. God draws near to restore us with love. And so we come to call on God's name to be restored, to be saved, to be given life with love. Come, Lord Jesus.
Stand if you are able. Beloved God, you have created this day for us and brought us here. Help us to open our hearts so that we may share your love with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel. Stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine and be saved.
Give us life and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord.
Again the Lord spoke to us, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as a seal or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows to refuse the evil and choose good." Before the child knows how to refuse evil and to choose good, the land before whose two kings are in dread will be deserted. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is our happy privilege now to welcome new members of this congregation, official members. I say the word official because each of these four have been attending our church and very much part of our church family for some time now. I invite them, please, to come forward and stand here on the chancel. And their families, too. How fortunate we are. And apparently they find themselves fortunate as well to be here. They're committing their membership with us as members of this congregational family. They have written most excellent biographical statements that are in your order of service and that will be passed along in time in our church newsletter as well. There are pictures of them out in the hallway, which we hope you'll study so as to get to know them better. Those who are wearing masks, you will need to see without pictures, if you have without mask and pictures, so that you will indeed recognize them better later on. I will not read their biographies to you. You can read that on your own time. Their delightful details added. Let me first introduce Valerie Francia, waving at you now. Valerie stands with her husband, Alex. They are the proud parents of Calvin and Emma. Emma, we are delighted to welcome you, too. And there's to be a third child entering the world just next month. We welcome her also. Valerie has a master's degree and is soon to be entering, or is currently entering, further study in counseling with people who have suffered religious and family abuse. I can think of few pursuits that have been more important to me as pastor of people who come our way. We pray for you as you continue that journey. Next beside her stands Christine Wang. And that's her husband, Jeff. Now, Christina is getting her PhD currently in urban planning at the university, has done plenty of previous work as well, educationally. You can see her credentials there. She's been visiting our church, worshiping here for since 2019. So knows her way around quite well. Both Jeff and she are weekly participants in our campus ministry program, The Gathering, on Wednesday nights. Wonderful people, friends, and we thank you for joining as well. Next, Martin and Ashley Majors. We welcome them and invite you to read their autobiographies as well. And with them stands Tess and Ruby. You may recall that last Sunday, these four were the ones who lit our Advent candle for that day's worship. These people also started attending our church 3 years ago. Please notice what they do. Please know that their contributions to this church have already been substantial, impressively substantial. And we want to thank Zan Morgan, wherever she now is, for inviting them, encouraging them, and saying great things about this congregation, which was their introduction to us. Martin, Ashley, Christine, Jeff, Valerie, Alex, and the kids too. We're so glad you're standing here today to be welcomed. Now, we always do with our new members a formal kind of blessing and welcome. I invite you to join in me in that. Do you have bulletins with you? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Not very hospitable on our part. Join me, please. We gladly welcome you into this church home. We pledge to learn with you, to serve with you, and to grow with you in the family of Jesus Christ. We are all made richer in faith because of your joining us. May the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us all to be good friends to each other and fully faithful in the calling of God in our lives together. Hang on just a moment longer. We have two items for each household. One is a folder with all kinds of fantastic information about who we are, most of which I'm sure you already know. And a certificate, so if anyone ever questions you, you can show legal proof. The other thing we're especially happy about, these are Christmas ornaments that have First Baptist Church Building on it. Which we hope you'll hang on your tree and remember us by every single Christmas. So here are your certificates and folders and your... Oh, they're named, yeah. Find yours, please.
We also have folders, certificates, and ornaments for you as well. We just didn't have them ready at that time, but we'll make sure that we get those to you.
You got yours. Welcome. Alex, good to have you standing. Hey, thank you, Emma. Thank you and bless you. Thank you so much. We love you.
Hello, friends. Do you notice something up here? A present. Oh, yeah, well, now you can. A big present. We're going to talk about that in a second. At the beginning of worship, every Sunday in Advent, we have said the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come." It's an invitation. We're saying, hey, we want you to show up here with us. We're getting ready for you. We are ready for you. Do you remember last week when we talked about the animals getting the barn ready? Yeah. We've been doing that too. We've been getting ready. And we talked last week about one way we're getting ready to actually welcome Jesus. When we say, come, Lord Jesus, that's like saying, you're welcome. Come, you're welcome in this space. And we, in January, you have heard, are going to be welcoming guests into our space. Our sign says, welcome guests. We are glad you're here. In Scripture, Jesus says, when you welcome others, when you welcome those who are hungry or sick or tired or lonely, you welcome me. So we in our church take that very seriously, and we're going to offer a very big warm welcome to our guests who don't have a place to live or stay. They're going to come and be warm here at our church. So we have the gift. We talked about this last week, the gift of hospitality to give. You all have a gift to give because guess what? In January, after church one day, the last Sunday in January, all the kids and all the teenagers are going to make lunch together for our guests the next day. So on the back of your card, it says on here, prepare a hot meal. It's the second bubble. You're going to mark that because you're going to help us do that. So you can mark prepare a hot meal. Oh, there's another one. It says, oh, make welcome signs. Today, you're going to help decorate our welcome signs as our way of saying, come, Lord Jesus, come, guests. We have a space for you here. So, those of you in the pews, I invite you to find your hospitality, your gifts of hospitality cards, too. Can you guys take one? Can take one and pass them? And then I've got some pencils. Teresa, there's one for you. Yeah, so there's a spot where you can put your name at the bottom. Teenagers, you can mark the make a meal because you're going to do that during youth group later this month with the kids. So on the card, you'll find a spot you can indicate what works for you. And for us kids, we for sure can mark the second bubble, the one that says provide a hot meal, prepare a hot meal. We're going to do that together. So the second bubble, go ahead and put an X right there. Whoop, that's our gift. The kids are going to give that as a gift. And then it's the second to last bubble. So go all the way down here where it says M, make. Make welcome signs. You're going to do that today. Because kiddos, you're an important part of us offering hospitality here at our church. You're an important part of the church family. Then there's a spot at the bottom that says name. If you can write your name, go ahead. If you can't write your name, go ahead and draw a picture of you. That works too. I'm going to write Zan. And I'm going to write a smiley face too. Okay, Allie's going to write her name. Yep, you got help. Good. And you can mark right here. Penny, you're going to help cook a meal. Can you put a little X right in that box, that circle? Good. Did you all get it?
I didn't do it.
Okay, great. All right, so once you're done with your card, you can stick it right inside our gift of hospitality. Can you sneak it in there? We're going to take maybe. Yeah, you can finish it. Go ahead, you got time. Good. Good job, Emma. Good. And did you mark? Good, great. You can stick it in here. You have gifts of hospitality to give. Okay. Now let's do this. We have a whole bunch of teenagers and grown-ups in the sanctuary too who have cards in their bulletins, and maybe they were filling theirs out while we are filling ours out. Go ahead and stick it in there. And we're going to gather those. So kiddos, would you do me a favor? Would you go and walk all around by the grown-ups, and they'll hand you a card if they have their gift of hospitality to give, and then we'll start putting them in the box, the Christmas gift. So you can go receive those gifts of hospitality from all of our church family. Here, Audrey, you can put yours in here. Get it in there, girl. There you go. Good. Once you gather those, we'll come put them back in our gift. Did you find some? James got some. Good. Good, good. All right. Penny's got some. Penny, here it is. Thank you for helping us collect our gifts. Okay. Miss Bonnie brought those from the choir. Thank you, choir. Go ahead, stick them in. Good. All those gifts of hospitality. Wow. Awesome. It's an important part of following Jesus here at our church. Yeah, good. All right, let's see. Anybody else? Do we need any more? We get them all? Awesome. Hey, let's pray over them right now. Would you put your hands forward like this, like you're praying over these gifts? Jesus, you are a gift to us. We invite you to come, and we want to offer a warm welcome as our way of welcoming you into this space. May we be hospitable hosts. May our guests feel welcome. May you feel welcome. In your name we pray. Can we say all together really loud, amen? Amen. All right, let's walk to church school together.
Will you pray with me, please? Most loving God, in the midst of all that there is to do and to feel and to seek in this final week before Christmas Day, help us not to be so occupied that we fail to be present to the deep meaning of these days. If we have not yet let the music sing its news to us, give us ears to listen. If we have been taking for granted the people around us, give us eyes to see them with tenderness. If our hearts have not yet found their way to saying, O holy child of Bethlehem, be born in us, lead us to nothing less than that longing. As the days and nights have grown cold, we pray at new levels of concern for people experiencing homelessness. We pray as well for all who feel unwanted and unwelcome. We pray for the abused, the scorned, the persecuted. And we pray for those who find this Christmas time to be a most painful season of grief. May they be given what comfort they are able to receive. May glimmers of light shine for them. May we be among those people who bring kindness and hope to those who are needing it most just now. We pray in particular now for these, for Jenny Scott, Bob Shannon, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, for Stacy, Maria Pirantosi, Harry and Phyllis Slaughter, and all the family of Ulysses Slaughter Jr., for Germano, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Randy Shedd, Chris Edyard Argus. And now receive our silent prayers. All of these prayers we offer simply trusting of your love. And we offer them in the name of the one to whose birth we soon will gather with joy, praying in the words he gave us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of our gospel. This is the gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One summer when I was a young kid, my family visited our relatives in North Carolina on their farm. As a farming family, my relatives were accustomed to getting up very early to tend all the livestock and take care of their various crops. As a six-year-old on summer break, I was not accustomed to getting up very early. One morning on that visit, I was sound asleep when I was awakened by the loudest, scariest, most monstrous sound I had ever heard in my little life. As the sound assaulted my dreaming senses, my little brain could actually see the wretched face of whatever monster that was screaming, shrieking right outside my window. I jumped out of bed. I sprinted into the kitchen where my dad was enjoying breakfast with my aunt and uncle and cousins. And as I tried to tell them about the monster I had heard outside my window, I burst into tears. And they burst into laughter, because that was no monster letting me know he was getting ready to kill me. That was just an old rooster letting me know it was time to get up. That would not be the last time I mistook something good for something sinister. And this tendency is not unique to me, though my husband does like to call it the Simpson leap. But it is human nature for us to try to make sense of the things that happen to us or to others, to try to fit them in to a kind of narrative plot that we think our lives are supposed to have. And that plot has to come with categories that make sense, categories that we can assign our life happenings into. And those categories are either good or bad. Sometimes the news we receive seems undeniably bad. And yet, even that doesn't necessarily end up being the whole story or the end of the story. Sometimes, in fact, it's just the beginning of a better story than we could have come up with on our own for ourselves. Sometimes, in fact, the story all just depends on how open we are to seeking and to seeing and to receiving the presence of God and the love of God and the goodness of God in the midst of circumstances we did not choose. This morning, in the Gospel of Matthew, we heard the story of a man destined to forever be the supporting actor in someone else's story. And yet, even as a supporting character, it turns out the story he was in ended up depending on his willingness to see the possibility of good news in the midst of what only could look to him like very, very bad news. Joseph was a righteous man, caught in a terrible scandal, not of his own making. We tend not to think of it as a scandal. It's the nativity story, after all. But it was a scandal. Joseph was betrothed to Mary, and betrothal was equivalent to marriage, a marriage which would become complete once the groom took the bride to his own home and they consummated the marriage. That was the part that hadn't happened yet, but then Mary turned up pregnant, which could only mean one thing. She had been unfaithful. Joseph knew this child was not his. If you've ever found yourself on the receiving end of bad news resulting from someone else's choices, then you can imagine how Joseph might have felt. Disappointed, at the very least. Betrayed, undoubtedly. Humiliated, absolutely. Everything Joseph thought he knew about his beloved has been upended. The future he had imagined with her is not to be. His own standing in the community will be harmed by something that he didn't do. He didn't make this mess, but he will have to deal with it. And so he has a choice. Joseph and Mary live in a world where right and wrong, good and bad, are black and white. And consequences are clearly defined. These are the choices Joseph can make in response to Mary's unfortunate pregnancy. He can divorce her, or he can bring charges of adultery against her, which would mean having her put to death. Matthew tells us that Joseph is a righteous man, and it seems he is a kind one too. Because of this, he's unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace. Rather than have her put on trial, he plans to divorce her, and even that he plans to do quietly. He may be humiliated, but he doesn't want to add to her humiliation. And for a young woman in Mary's circumstances, this is just about the best she could have hoped for. And then an angel shows up. As far as angels' stories go, the one we most associate with the Nativity is the one Luke gives us in his gospel, the one in which the angel Gabriel comes to young Mary and tells her she's going to have a baby. It's the story of the Annunciation, the story of a teenage girl asked to partner with God in the transformation of the world, and she says, yes. But according to Matthew, the whole plan hinges as much on Joseph as it does on Mary. Joseph has already made up his mind to put her away quietly. But just when he has resolved to do this, an angel appears to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph could wake from this dream, shake it off, let it go, and then go on out to file divorce papers. Mary will be nothing more than any other poor, unwed teenage mother. And Jesus will be nothing but an illegitimate child with no name from a father. God's good news will not find its legitimate home in our world. But if Joseph can believe a dream, if Joseph can believe such a dream as this one, then the good news can move forward. The good news will move forward. The boy will be born legitimately. He will be given a name that will legitimate him. If Joseph can believe this dream, if Joseph can believe that news that seemed monstrous is actually an invitation to wake up and engage in a whole new reality, the transformation of the world, then Mary will have a husband, and her baby will have a father, and both of them will have a name and a home and a family. God's wild plan to be born into the world will be protected and nurtured. And of course, that's what Joseph does. He gets up from his dream and adopts God's plan. He gets up from his dream and adopts God's baby. He owns the mess he didn't make, and the mess becomes the place God is born. The bad news is the place the good news is born. This is an act of courage, which is to say, it is an act of love. In our Advent devotional resource this year, we've been learning some about the concept of the dawn chorus. In the wee hours of the morning, before the sun has begun to even slightly appear over the horizon, songbirds will begin to sing while it is still totally dark. They anticipate, they somehow know the sun is coming. Dawn choruses begin quietly with just a few birds like robins and thrushes, but soon the air will fill with a loud, lively, clear chorus, a promise in the dark that morning is coming, even though the sun hasn't yet risen, not even a little bit. This is our role as the church too, of course, to trust in the coming of the light, to stake our existence on the reality that even when times look dark, especially when times look dark, even when the news seems bleak and disappointing, especially when the news seems bleak and disappointing, the light will arise among us. And so we sing. We sing in the dark before the light has even begun to appear. Roosters are no songbirds. I've known that since I was 6 years old. And yet, several years ago, researchers discovered that, contrary to our long-standing assumption that roosters crow in response to daybreak, roosters, in fact, have their own version of a dawn chorus. They start to crow around 2 hours before the onset of first light. It's called an anticipatory pre-dawn crowing. And roosters can be taken out of the natural world, away from the light, and they will still crow right on time. They do not need external cues to know when the light is coming, to know when to start crowing. Something inside them, something they trust, lets them know. And they just start shrieking. Can you imagine trusting the coming of the light so thoroughly, so persistently, that even in the deep of the night, you could crow about the reality of good news? Can you imagine making a choice, even when news seems undeniably bad, to trust that good news will somehow be woven into it and woven out of it and worked through it? Can you imagine seeking the presence of God no matter what disappointment you face, no matter what despair threatens you, no matter what darkness descends, no matter what happens, including especially the things you didn't choose? Can you imagine seeking and even expecting to find the presence of God through it all? Is it possible to wake up to love, to wake up to the sweetness of God, to the goodness of God, no matter what horrors are happening in our world and even in our own lives? Is it possible? Joseph says it's possible. Our Christmas story says it's possible. I bet the testimony of your own life tells you some things that say it's possible. Many years ago, when our sons were quite small, Christmas fell on a Tuesday, which meant our church was hosting Vespers that night, our meal for the homeless and the hungry. The people serving the meal that particular night decided, because it was Christmas, to turn it into a big party. There was a tree, there was a cake, there was music, and there were lots and lots of presents. Our little boys were very excited about the cake. And Paul and I soon discovered that it was not just because it was cake, but that it was also because the two of them thought the baby Jesus was going to be there to blow out the candles. It was his birthday party, after all. And they had never been to a birthday party where the guest of honor wasn't there to blow out the candles. And so they pressed through the crowd, closer and closer to the cake, to try to get a glimpse of Jesus while everyone sang, "Happy birthday." And they were so disappointed when no baby Jesus or no toddler Jesus showed up to blow out the candles. But they were three, which meant they were stubborn and would not give up looking for him for the rest of the evening. A little while later, our family was standing near the tree chatting with some of the Vespers guests when a toddler we had never seen before quietly toddled over and silently reached his arms up to Paul, who picked the child up. And I overheard one of our three-year-olds say to the other one, "That must be Jesus." And the other son nodded. And I looked again at the little boy in Paul's arms, and I knew our sons were right. That was Jesus. That was Emmanuel, God with us. I had missed him, but our little boys saw him because they had been looking for him. They had been persistently looking for him, stubbornly looking for him, even after the disappointment of his not showing up when they had expected. They had kept looking for him even when we, their parents, had tried so gently to break the news to them that Jesus didn't really quite show up the way they were thinking. They kept looking anyway, and it turned out that we, their parents, were wrong. Jesus did show up the way they were looking for him. They knew he would, so they stayed awake and alert to any possible incarnation of the living and loving God. And when God showed up in the silent, reaching boy, reaching body of a little boy, they knew. They saw. They recognized the good news. And so can we. When we see and recognize good news, how can we not respond? We have opportunity to make response now with our offerings, with joy. as beloved children of God, as recipients of good news and bearers of good news, let us offer one another signs of peace. May the peace of Christ be with you. Oh, good. That's great. Great. Good. Oh.
She's somewhere.
Oh, I hope she doesn't say anything that we don't want to hear. Now, will you receive the benediction? Dear friends, Christ is coming, and all creation waits. Prepare the way of the Lord. Put aside dark things. Clothe yourselves in light. For the Lord comes. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.